Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around. In the last episode, we talked about how Billy built a bacon brand infused with music, heart, and craftsmanship. Today, we go deeper. How that brand scaled across the country, made it onto television, and became a staple in kitchens everywhere. Now, Billy's small batch bacon isn't just food, it's culture. And the mind behind it, William Billy Stitt, is here again to help us understand how to scale something authentic without losing the magic. Billy, welcome back to the show. So excited to have you here.
I'm excited to be here as well. It's always good to see you.
So, Billy, talk to me. What was the moment you realized the brand had gone from local love to national attention?
Well, I guess there was a moment when I got a phone call at 10 p.m. at night, Central Time, from some random guest that had ordered the bacon online. And they had like an audience behind them of about 20 people, and they were using it at an event. And everybody was just going, we just wanted to, you know, we didn't know we would get you on the phone. We were just calling to call and say how much we liked the bacon and wanted to order some more.
Yeah.
And we talked for like an hour, and they just wanted to talk about, you know, craftsmanship and quality and things like that. And I get these just fun, crazy calls all the time that just want to talk about bacon. And I knew we had something there.
Yeah. So talk to me, Bill. What changed first? Was it the demand, the storytelling? And looks like it was a demand for based on the story that you just shared. Or was it the team behind, like, what change first for you?
I knew we had a great product. The demand, when some really nice hotels and some amazing chefs started saying, you know, Billy, we want your product, and we want to feature it on the menu. We want to use it for so many, you know, different applications. I knew we were really onto something.
Nice, man. That's always a good sign, especially when, you know, the consumer is coming back and saying, hey, this is what we're not the
right.
This is what we want. Tell me when the Food Channel called. Walk us through that day. What did that look like?
Well, that was pretty fun when they said they wanted to film an episode here. So that kind of featured the restaurant and bacon anytime you got Hollywood around, when the lights are there and everybody's mic'd up, that's always fun and exciting. And, you know, since then we've had a few other things filmed here, and it's just, it's good for the team. It can kind of be confusing for some guests at times because they don't know what they're walking into, but it was a good day. That's for sure. It was a good week, actually. Yeah.
So walk with us, or, you know, walk us through that day. Like, what happened in the morning, in the afternoon? Like, what are the things that they talked about, or what were they trying to capture as well from the perspective of the story, the background, like who the team is, et cetera?
You know, they wanted to do an episode, on rustic restaurants and kind of off the beaten path locations. And mine kind of fell right in line with that. Mm-hmm. And, I believe the title was Seaside Snacks and Shacks. And, it was a really sharp host who had, been a restaurant owner and really, you know, cut his teeth in the industry.
Mm.
So the fact that the host wasn't just some Hollywood type, that they were just like me, just a regular restaurant guy. He and I hit it off really well. And he liked the fact that, you know, not only were we a restaurant, we were an ingredient producer. So, you know, we met that morning. You know, I was more concerned about cleaning the place up and straightening things here and there. And, you know, it's not like I had a huge team at that time. And we went through, we didn't really have a script, which I love because, you know, it's just like you and I talking right now. You know, I don't really want too much preparation. I want, you know, to kind of flow naturally. But we looked at several dishes that we featured, from our pork belly sandwich to our holy cow burger to our bacon and salted caramel chocolate bite dessert, a couple of cocktails, a Bloody Mary. And then he lays down in the old vintage bathtub in the courtyard and gets a picture. And that was really cool. Nice. And it was a good day. The team loved it. The press we got from it was great. Yeah. And I think it was kind of the start of, you know, hey, what's this Billy's Place about?
You know, that brings me to the point that momentum brings opportunity, but also brings a ton of challenges, because now that you have this demand, you have to now handle all these additional demands and the supply for the products. Let's talk about how you handled the growth.
From day one, I knew that if I put myself on the floor or in the kitchen, I was going to be successful, but my burnout factor would happen rather quickly and it wouldn't go well. I knew, and I'd been trained and taught over my entire career, that you have to get things done through a team.
Yeah.
So, you know, I picked good players and I gave them responsibilities and just tried to follow up with them to make sure they were doing what they were supposed to do and hold them accountable. You know, that's a lot, just, you know, making sure I have good people making good decisions, that trust me and love the brand.
Yeah, that's really powerful. You hit it on the nail with having the right team in the right place, because it's easy to pass the ball, right? Every single person knows their position. Hey, I'm the quarterback. You're the lineman. You're the kicker. You know, you have all of these positions defined, and it's much easier to pass the ball and make that goal and hit the home run, because actually I used two different analogies there. Kick it in the end zone.
Right.
Because everybody knows their role and how best they can expand over there. Now, small batch is a sacred thing, right? How did you protect the integrity as the demand exploded, because you're doing these things in small batches?
Yes, and we're continuing with that. You know, small batches, it's not just in the name, it's in our culture. You know, the fresh bellies come in, they're received by hand. They're sliced in half, so we're dealing with quarters. They're cured by hand, and they're cured for 8 days with brown sugar, real molasses, heavy kosher salt. And it's all done behind a live music stage, which kind of brings some other character in there. And then we smoke them using hickory. Again, another product made by someone, you know, using their hands. But all the slicing, the packaging, everything is done by hand by some great people that believe in the brand. And, you know, and as we scale and as we grow, we're still going to keep that piece of the puzzle. You know, we might add a little bit larger smokers. We might add a few more people, but we're still going to keep the by hand piece in place.
That's really good, because that's what the quality is then shown through the product in that way, right? Yeah. Because you're doing by hand, you're giving it extra time. And the music aspect is really cool, because, again, we are affected by waves, and the music that you play plays a big part on who you end up becoming.
Now, it really does. Can I add one thing?
Of course, please.
The packaging is just a whole nother piece. if you didn't know me from Adam and you visited Fairhope, Alabama, and you were staying with some guests and you're like, oh, I got to get like a housewarming gift. I want to greet them with something nice. And you heard about my bacon. So you'd come by the restaurant, you'd pick up a pound, and then you would deliver it to their home where I guess you're staying for some event or whatnot. And when they get it, they really feel like they're getting a Christmas present because there's hand wrap. They open the brown butcher paper, they peel back the inside layers, and then they're looking at this artisan handcrafted bacon. It just sets us apart.
Nice. That's really powerful, man. Tell me, so a lot of entrepreneurs are listening to this podcast and they're like, want to make sure that they don't make the same mistake, especially in the space that if they're creating an artisanal product. What's the biggest mistake entrepreneurs are making when they're trying to scale a handcrafted or artisanal product?
I think they move way too fast. I think a lot of times they get sold the brightest, you know, the shiniest penny. You know, I have to slow down and realize that I'm in sales. And when people call me or if they take the time to stop by to see me, and if they want to show me a product, they want to show me an application or a piece of equipment or an ingredient or something that I'm always learning. I've got to take the time at least, you know, once or twice a week to look at something new, something different. And I may not jump on it and buy it right away, but I think a lot of entrepreneurs, they get stuck in that. We've got everything figured out. I don't need to look at anything else. You know, you got to look at what's going on around you. Or you'll never, you know, you'll get run over.
You're 100% right. It's very important to learn and continue to grow that mindset, because that's going to in turn help you build a better business model, help you, you know, scale not just the product, but also this philosophy behind it. Because when you scale philosophy, then you have people coming through that are going to stick around for a longer time.
And a good example of that is an equipment sales guy. He would send me emails. He would drop things in the mail. But then one day he shows up and he's like, man, I got to tell you about this piece of equipment. And this was like a $100,000 piece of equipment. I was not in the market for that. I couldn't do it. And, but I let him do his sales pitch. I let him show me how it works. I spent time with him and I was nice to him. And when we parted, everything went really well. And that guy sends me customers now. You know, as he's out selling that equipment to other people, he's like, you should see the guy in Fairhope, what he's doing by hand or yada, yada, yada. And, you know, never blast somebody that's selling and never slam a door in their face. And because, man, we're all trying to sell something. And,
you're absolutely,
you know, you need allies.
Dude, I love that. And when you're showing that kindness of your heart, it helps them extract their kindness, and that's why he keeps sending you customers, because you were so kind to him. Now, Billy, you've built something that people genuinely connect with. How has the brand changed you individually?
I think I'm still the same genuine Billy or William that I've been since you know, since a kid. 57 going on 37. I used to say 57 going on 27, but I had to up it by 10 years later. You know, I've been through some really, you know, rough patches, and I didn't smile as much. I didn't laugh as much. I didn't respond like I should, because I got so stuck. My focus was in survival mode, and that was really defining me, and I didn't like it. I slowly but surely have kind of dug my way out of that survival mode, and I carry a more positive approach to things, a more optimistic look, and but that was a change that was going the wrong direction. And I, you know, several of my friends and people that I love and care about noticed it and were able to speak with me and say, "Billy, we're worried about you." And just being able to talk it out helped a lot getting through it. But business is hard. There's no other way to say it. I mean,
It is
especially the
definitely
meat
hard.
industry, it is brutal. Yeah. But that was the change that was going the wrong direction, but it's definitely going the right direction now.
I love it, dude. I love it. It's, you know, when we get to realize and be around people that encourages and pushes to be our best versions, I think it's good for everyone around us too.
It is. You're right.
Now, let's say some of these young people are starting their own restaurants. What's a lesson that you would tell them about finding their own voice?
Ooh, I hope and pray that they've gone out and worked for some other people first. Especially in our industry, you need to go out and cut your teeth with some people that are winning. And of course, on that path to meet a bunch of winners, you're going to work with some people that that are struggling and doing some things wrong. And both of those are lessons. But go work for some other people, learn the rights, learn the wrongs, always be approachable, and find a way to surround yourself with like-minded people who just have the mindset of let's grow, let's, if somebody says I can't do that, that doesn't mean they're the wrong person for your company, but that means they're the wrong person for that task. And you've got to be able to shift them over or find someone else to do that task. And they've got to be big enough to realize that you're not pushing them out the door, but you've got to find people that says, I want to do it. How fast you want it? Let's do it. Let's knock it out now. And then to constantly be able to repeat, there's a lot of people that can get some things done on a one-hit wonder. You need consistency and drive. And then that's where that person that may have struggled with the getting over the hump can be a key player in the maintaining that push.
100%, man, 100%. Now, Billy, last question for you. If you could go back to Billy on day one, what would you tell him?
Don't spend so much money on things you don't need. Don't think you're gonna save your brand through marketing. Focus on great food, great service, but mainly great people. If you get a bad vibe about a person, or if you're surrounding yourself with marginal people, you're going to be putting out marginal product.
So marginal people are going to put out marginal product. Make sure that you're surrounding yourself with A-class people or somebody who has a growth mindset. They're constantly ready to learn.
The ready to learn means more to me than experience. Somebody that's willing to say, "Show me, I'll do it," and then can also take direction and to not get all bent out of shape if you say, "Hey, this is wrong or this is not great. I want to make it great."
Absolutely, Bill. Well, thank you so much. This has been really inspiring, and honestly, just hearing about it, it's been a, it's a very heartfelt journey. It's something that you put your heart into it. I mean, we were talking earlier, and you're in it, day in, day out. You're constantly working it. You're constantly providing amazing service, managing the team, the product, all of it. It's really amazing to see how far you've come.
Well, thank you, and I hope you'll get to visit one day.
Absolutely. Now, Billy, where can my audience experience Billy's Small Batch Bacon, connect with you, and support the brand?
Sure. They can come to Fairhope, Alabama, which is on the eastern shore of Mobile Bay in between Mobile, Alabama and Pensacola, Florida. They can go to either of my websites, www.billys.com for the restaurant or www.billysbacon.com for the bacon company. YouTube, we've got a great channel you can subscribe to where I Nice. Talk about my bacon, I talk about burgers, I talk about my hobbies and my adventures. That's a fun way. Or you can just pick up the phone and call me. I mean, my number's pasted everywhere. I'm not Nice. Hiding. That's the fun thing about, you know, when you make bacon and somebody calls you at a weird time, they want to talk about bacon. And right. It's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Well, Willie, thank you so much. We'll be sure to include the links to your sites in the show notes, your YouTube channel, and all the ways that they can connect with you. And tell me, what is your favorite hobby that you're doing right now that you love to talk about?
Sure. I love motorcycles, preferably some vintage bikes. I like something that from the 60s or 70s that somebody mm-hmm. may have given up on or stuck away in a garage okay. or and I like to bring it back to life and to enjoy it. I'm not necessarily trying to turn it into a showpiece. I want sure. it to be something I can use and share with others.
Dude, that's so cool. My neighbor just got a motorbike. It's a Ducati. I think 900 or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's pretty.
Dry clutch.
Yeah. I'm like, can I ride it? He's like, do you have a license? I'm like, no, I didn't get one. short story. My dad used to ride a bike. Motorbike everywhere. He had a Honda 90 in the 70s. And yeah. when I said, hey, I want to ride a bike, Dad, he's like, no, you're not getting a motorbike. because it's dangerous, right? It's dangerous. But 20 years ago, I took a class. I rode these motorcycles. I would go every week. I took a class. I learned how to ride the motorbike. And they passed me. I passed all the exams. All I had to do, Billy, was to go to the DMV, take a test, and I would have a motorcycle driver's license.
Yeah.
And I did not do that. I kicked myself.
Oh, you still can now? Go do it.
All right. I will go do it and get me a motorcycle driver's license because I love these things. In fact, I have two motorbikes in the back. They're made out of Lego, but one is a BMW GTR, like a wow. dirt bike. And the other one is it's probably a Ducati, I don't know. It's a red okay. one, whatever, but...
I see them, yeah.
Yep, I love these motorbikes, and they're pretty cool. But yeah, man, this is so awesome to talk with you. Maybe next time we come back, we talk more about motorcycles.
That sounds great.
They're so much fun, because again, this is Hacks and Hobbies. And again, thank you so much. This was fun.
Thank you. Had a blast. Cheers.
All right, so stick around, and as I close out, this episode. Hobbies into legacy. Your story matters. Guys, thank you so much for coming on. It was really awesome talking with Billy. Remember, the best brands aren't built on products. They're built on stories, soul, and the courage to do something different. And that's exactly what Billy did. And that's what he's doing every single day. So if you want to connect with him, please check the show notes. And for me, I'm Junaid, this is Hacks and Hobbies, and I'll see you in the next episode.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode on Hacks and Hobbies. We absolutely appreciate your contribution. You can find additional notes on hacksandhobbies.com. Please share the podcast with your friends and tell them what you learned about our guest today.